Hi, you entrepreneurs. Today we have Dean Dufanay. He is the founder of All Star Vets. He has a background, a really athletic background. He got into the military. He worked in the social industry, and he just saw that there was something missing. A lot of these vets needed more health in their life, needed more events in their life, needed more opportunities just to thrive in society. So he's really taken this approach to help as many people as possible. If you're thinking about starting a nonprofit, you have a background for veterans, you have a heart full that you want to help veterans, you're going to want to listen, you're going to want to subscribe, and you're going to tell your friends. Hopefully you guys enjoy this, and we love your feedback.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so we are here with Dean Dufanay.
That's right.
It's a tough last name, but I think I
did that well.
All right, so you are the founder of All Star Vets, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so tell us a little about what does All Star Vets do?
All Star Vets engages active duty military, veterans, their extended families, and really anybody who's a patriot and supports our military involved in wellness-related activities. Okay. So that could involve sports, but it could also involve stuff like yoga or hiking or ping pong or whatever your thing is that gets you off the couch and gets you doing something active. We're in support of that.
Being such a big military town in San Diego, has this been kind of a lot of individuals looking for your help, or has it been fairly straightforward?
We've had a really good turnout and really good response from our veteran community and active, really. So, and that's part of the challenge as you build and grow a nonprofit organization is how do you, if you get too much at one time, how do you handle all of that, right? Yeah. So that's why I've by design really had this be a slow grow kind of grassroots process. We're June 20th will be our third year that we've had this established as a 501c3 nonprofit. And so during the first couple of years, I just wanted to tease this out a little bit and kind of have a proof of concept under our belt, try a bunch of things and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And then kind of the idea was to then narrow it down to maybe some of the things that we do very well. But I always want to keep it very broad still because I want to be able to, since it's my thing and I'm the boss, I get to choose. I want to be able to try a little bit of everything because, you know, I want it to be all inclusive.
Yeah.
And, you know, some veterans are into video games or whatever. So let's do a Madden tournament, right?
Oh, wow.
Or anything like that. You know, there's folks that are into stand-up paddleboard yoga. Okay. You know, we can sponsor a group of you and five of your friends to go do some stand-up paddleboard yoga. All kinds of stuff like that. We want to do that because the one thing I do know is that there's something for everybody. I don't care what your disability condition or whatever the case may be. If you're a single amputee, double amputee or whatever, there's always something out there under that wellness umbrella that you can engage in that will help your mental and physical well-being.
What got you, because I know you have a background in the military, what got you to build this, to give back to your fellow brethren?
Where this really came from was I spent close to 8 years in social work serving homeless veterans specifically in North San Diego County at a place called Interfaith Community Services. That's where I really got, my PhD in veteran services, I would say, where I got to see all of the issues that you hear about veterans, you know, struggling through, suicide ideation, homicide ideation, anxiety, depression, PTSD, homelessness, underemployment, everything. Because that's where people would end up in a program like ours that we ran, because we ran transitional housing programs, employment services. We helped them get linked in with their benefits and in partnerships with the VA and the county. And it was just a great place to be able to get that exposure and to really do that, get in the trenches, so to speak, with our homeless vets to help them. The idea was to get them from homelessness to self-sufficiency in a certain amount of time. Some people it took 2 months, some people it took 2 years.
What was the difference of, like, from 2 months to 2 years? Was there a common denominator that played out?
A lot of it had to do with level of functioning, really. Mm. You know, some vets, this was the 2009 time frame where the economy tanked. So there was veterans that were six-figure earners, owned their own businesses, two homes in different cities, all this kind of stuff. But they, you know, obviously they fell on hard times, and then the, you know what, rolls downhill effect.
Yeah. Don't you can cuss shit.
Oh, okay, down. Okay. Shit rolls downhill. We all know what that is. So, so that happens, and then you know they exhaust all of their resources. They go do some couch surfing at friends. That whole issue puts strain on the family nucleus. And then divorce and separation happens. And then these guys, you know, one thing about our veterans that I found was that the pride of that we're supposed to be able to handle things, right? Yeah. We're supposed to be able to pick ourselves up, adapt and overcome situations. But sometimes things like that could be so overwhelming, but that pride is still there, that mindset is still there, that we're supposed to be able to fix things, that you will, to a fault, try too long. To the point where you're like, oh, look around. Pretty soon you have nothing. You burnt all the bridges. The friends aren't there. Money's not there. Then that's when we would see some of those veterans. So there was people on that spectrum that were high functioning, high earners, things like that, just fell on hard times. And folks that are straight up coming in right out of prison. You know? Uh-huh. Yeah. So and then been there, kind of institutionalized for a while. So that coming out and then coming into a housing program, that's a difficult transition, right? Because coming out of prison and then you're supposed to kind of integrate into the society again, that's difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult for anybody, really. So, but if you throw in physical or mental disabilities or diagnosis, or if you have a co-occurring disorders like, you know, drug and alcohol addiction and a mental health disability, that just makes things even more difficult to overcome, right? So we saw that spectrum of, like I said, the high functioning person that just needed a roof over the head for a little while, kind of get their affairs in order, not have the stressors of not having that the basic needs of food and shelter and clothing and stuff.
Yeah.
We would have those guys, so we would just kind of coach them up and say, okay, good, here's some job leads, here's a good person to talk to about this. And then they're high functioning, obviously, so they just kind of take the ball, run with it, and be like, hey, thank you, I'm out. Yeah. I hope I never see you again, but thank you for this, we're gone. And then you would have those that were, it took every bit of that 2 years that they had eligibility for the program, every bit of that 2 years to just get them to the point where they're ready to step out, go get an apartment on their own, find a job that they can sustain their income and sustain their housing, and then get on their own path to self-sufficiency. So you had, and then everything in between, you know, yeah. Everything between, but those are the two ends of the spectrum, I would say, that we saw, and then all different scenarios in between. So you'd have people there for 6 months, a year, you know, 5 months, whatever the case may be.
So in the social field, you're working with these individuals and getting them on their back on their feet for, you mean, again, like 2 months to 2 years, yeah. Getting back on their feet. Where did the idea come from that you need to maybe help them with life, I guess, like enjoying life? And where did that nonprofit idea come from?
Yeah, so we did several things very well at Interfaith.
Yeah.
We helped them obtain an income or their benefits, which sometimes came with, you know, a service-connected disability, which would give them some money in their pocket to pay rent or whatever the case may be, get jobs, find housing, get mentally stabilized and mental health therapy and drug and alcohol counseling, but we weren't doing things actively to really get them active.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the one missing piece of the puzzle that I saw.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, you know, I really wish we could do that. And we just didn't have the resources. All the funding we had was very tied to grants and contracts. So it wasn't written in there that, hey, we pay $40,000 for an activity specialist or something like that, which we did try to piece that together by other means, but it just seemed to be our core competencies were getting them transitioned out, get that job, get the housing stuff like that. And it seemed like the wellness stuff was kind of like a cherry on top if you could pull it off.
Yeah.
And so after when it was my time that I was ready to, you know, do something else in my career path, I thought that, okay, what am I going to do when I go that I can still serve my fellow veterans? And it was really right there in front of me the whole time, because my whole life is wrapped in sports and recreation and wellness activities. Honestly, I'm a lifelong, you know, athlete, as we talked about a little earlier. I've been a referee, official referee.
For what?
Basketball. Okay. I've umpired baseball too, and nice. Yeah, and coach as well. And then when I'm not doing that stuff, I'm a fan.
What did you get yelled at more, as a coach, the referee for basketball, or baseball, or the ump for?
Oh, it's basketball referee, definitely.
Yeah, you get yelled at the most.
Yeah, because it's everything's flowing. So you know, every time down the court.
Yeah.
There could be a call, and half of the people are going to disagree with it, right? So that's constant. Yeah. Baseball, you know, there's little breaks in the action, and, you know, it's not as constant.
Did it ever get in your skin?
You know, my military bearing served me very well. It really did, honestly. And now it didn't, because I know how to separate that. You know, I know how to put that block up. Like, I know where it's coming from, you know, because youth basketball was the absolute worst in terms of what you, like, because all the parents are like, their kids are 8, 9, 10 years old or whatever. They already got dreams of them going to go play in the NBA and all this stuff, right? So this ref's not going to give my kid a bad call and whatever. And a lot of them just don't know the game well enough to know what a bad call is or what a good call is or whatever the case may be. So you just dealt with that. So you just know that going in, right? You just know that. And me growing up in sports, my whole life really set me up to know the difference, what I'm dealing with there.
Yeah.
So I was pretty prepared. And then the military bearing, like I said, that comes through all the time in all aspects of life. But yeah, so I would get the barrages of things, you know, and you just deal with them tactfully and professionally, you know, and move on.
So you have the background, you did some boxing, you played some sports, and you go, okay, I need to give a little extra to these guys. We're missing a piece right here.
Yeah.
Did you have any background, any knowledge of a nonprofit or how they were run beforehand?
So my exposure at being at Interfaith, it's not necessarily the same type of a nonprofit, but it was the nonprofit sector.
Okay.
So that time spent there gave me an idea of what needs to be done to set one up, to really run one. So it wasn't completely foreign once I did it, but it is obviously, when you're doing it the first time yourself from the start, word go, that's obviously, you know.
Do you have any kind of rough spark notes of, like, if someone was thinking about it, the 5-10 steps that they would have to think about?
I would really say to, you know, a lot of people want to pay for people to file their paperwork and get them set up and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, it all depends on your situation. Like, if you know, if your time is so valuable and tied up in other things and you've got the money to do it, I would say go ahead and do that then. Pay somebody to file the paperwork and then get your bylaws and minutes and stuff set up, because that's time that you're putting into somebody who specializes in doing that, or you can trudge through it and do it yourself, not pay anybody. But if you have those means, I would say it'd be money well spent, because then your time is more focused on, you know, setting up your funding streams and your marketing plan or whatever the case may be there. So, but it's fully something that you can do on your own. You don't need somebody to pay somebody to do all that kind of stuff. You can set it up. It's just a matter of how you want to exchange that time and energy for the money kind of thing.
Yeah.
So some of the tips, I guess, from when I started is, obviously get your core things in place as soon as possible, so that the foundation of your organization, your bylaws written up and your filings with the state and all of that kind of stuff, get your 501c3 status, so that way when you start to go seek out funds and everything, you can say that it's, you know, you can, I guess, you know, it's a tax write-off, you know, it's tax deductible and stuff like that, which is attractive to people and donors. So really getting the foundation, you know, don't get too far ahead of yourself, because we have our mission that we have in our mind. That's really the passion of why we do this. A lot of people don't care as much about the administrative work of it.
Yeah.
Right. They just want to, like, I just want to do my passion, do my mission. But it's crucial, you know, because you get too far ahead of yourself, you start raising all kinds of funds or whatever, and you don't have your 501c3, you can get yourself in trouble, you can get people mad at you, all kinds of stuff. So I would say take the time to get those that foundation really well set under you. I did a little bit of both, to be honest with you. Like, I had certain key things established, but I also kind of moved out on the mission, you know what I mean, and started doing things in the community and whatnot. But I would say if I did it differently, I would have just got all that stuff, you know, get my my binder of all those critical things right in place, get set up on these things like GuideStar and whatnot, where they start to where real funders will start to look to GuideStar and these other things that they can pull up your profile and see that, oh, you're a gold star GuideStar person, you're a silver star, you're a bronze, whatever. And each of them meant something. Like, if you're bronze, that just means you put your profile in there. If you're silver, I think it says you attach some financials with that to show that you're a little transparent with the financials. And then gold was something like, you know, 5 years of worth of financials and bylaws and mission statement, you know, the whole thing is right there. You're really transparent and open. And that's where bigger corporations will say, like, well, these guys have the whole gamut here. I'd rather give to them versus the bronze star people or whatever. Yeah, so there's those.
No, so you a gold star?
I think I am not a gold star yet. Yeah, just because we need some financials. We need a couple of years. And our financials are so small. We just have the postcard that we need to submit. Okay. So we just need to get that uploaded, and then we'll be upgraded a little bit. So it's a work in progress. Like I said, it's slow grow. Everything's volunteer basis, you know, and I only have a couple people helping me out with that. So, you know, we, like I said, we kind of are building the plane while we're flying it.
so you built this nonprofit, right? Yep. You built this base. Now, where do you get the funding from? Have you got funding from?
So most of it's been, you know, some sponsorships from some corporations. And I know real estate is big in San Diego, very generous, and very, you know, people are very supportive of the veteran community. So a lot of it's come from sponsorships from corporations, and we haven't quite cracked open the code for the grants yet, partially due to my time being spread amongst several projects. Yeah. And just spending the time and writing the grants, honestly, because it's not terribly difficult. It's just really time consuming.
Yeah.
And I just need to, you know, just like I said, it's a matter of how you want to apply your time and weigh it out, whether it's, you know, the bang for the buck or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's where we really want to. And I also wanted to continue to get that past performance under our belt with the community. And so that way, when we do write grants, we can say that we've engaged with, you know, with the County of San Diego on this and the San Diego Veterans Coalition on this. We're a Live Well San Diego partner. We've done, you know, 12 events last year with a total of, you know, 3,500 people served, blah, blah, blah. Give us some money. Yeah. You know, we are an organization that you want to be affiliated with. And that's really important to me.
Yeah.
To be a really an upstanding member of the community is what we're trying to go for.
Yeah.
So we're not a group that's out there saying, yeah, come out with the vets and go get sloshed and play softball and get part, you know, we're not a big party group or anything like that, but we're also not so stiff that we don't have a beer also and a camaraderie at these types of events. But we always promote to always do those types of things very responsibly, you know? So that's what we're trying to do with All Star Vets, is really just be, you know, a resource in the community for bringing folks together. That's the one thing. We're a culture of sports fanatics. You know, sports brings people together. So we leverage that fact that sports brings people together.
It allows people, like you're saying, where it's not drunken intoxication. You know what I mean? That it allows, okay, we can focus on sports. And actually have a positive way of spending the time instead of strictly on alcohol.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. I mean, you know, why not have a beer after, you know, had a good day of a tournament or a run of 10K or whatever the case may be. We're all for that stuff. But we are very much proponents of our veterans getting healthy. Yeah. That's what it's about, mentally, physically. We need to do more things like this, and we need to champion more things like the holistic healing modalities. You know, I think part of the reason why I went down this route as well is because a lot of the modalities that I noticed, weren't helping our veterans,
yeah.
You know? some of our veterans would have a tackle box, like a Home Depot toolbox, full of medication that they were supposed to take on a daily basis. And right away I saw that, and that was something that just kind of blew me away. I've never seen anything like that before. It's like, what? So this, how is this person supposed to function?
Yeah, yeah.
How are we supposed to get job leads and get a, you know, apply for 5 apartments and do all this stuff, keep up with your appointments if you're so heavily drugged up?
Yeah.
That really kind of, you know, threw me for a loop, actually. I was and it got me to thinking, like, isn't there any other way that we can get our vets healthy?
Yeah.
Other than shoveling, like, literally these crazy Molotov cocktails of drugs. And a lot of it was making our veterans worse than they were when they went to the VA.
So with you guys, so we've talked a lot about, like, events you guys have. And I know it's a healthy component to it also. Are there, like, where you can assess what's going on with them and maybe, like, help them with nutrition or stuff like that? Or is that incorporated also?
Yeah, so that's the thing is the thing is build something that will bring our vets together.
Yeah.
And then when we have them together and they know that they can trust us because we're veteran, you know, veteran run, and I get a chance to kind of intermingle with them a little bit, you'd be surprised when you're out on the field how easy our vets start to open up.
Yeah.
They're just in a non-threatening environment. They know they're amongst their own.
Yeah.
And they just start telling you stuff. Oh, I haven't slept in 2 weeks, and they got me on this amount of pills and this, and you know, I was really snapping at my wife, and we're going to be homeless in 2 months if I don't get a job, and all kinds of stuff that have just come out. So I get to take off my coaching cap and put on the social work hat, so to speak, and just start to get them plugged into resources. That's one of the things I say that is, I guess I say is my superpower is I'm a connector.
Yeah.
So I've spent over, you know, almost 11 years now compiling different resources for different things for our veterans. And so I can help them if they need housing, if they need mental health services, if they need a job, if they need financial counseling. If you know, if they're homeless, whatever the case may be, I can help in all those kinds of ways. So that's kind of what I would consider to be like a secondary mission of ours, is to be able to then get them together through these sports and activities and build the camaraderie and all that, which is first and foremost. We just want to do that, you know. But then if we have the opportunity to do that and somebody needs help on another layer, then we have that ability to do that as well.
So starting the nonprofit and everything, you have these big goals. Probably wasn't easy right off the bat. Was there some hurdles that you had to overcome to get to the point that you're even at now?
You know, yeah, I think anybody who starts something like really brand new without attaching themselves to some other like big name national nonprofit or something like that, anytime you're doing something grassroots, one of the hardest parts is getting that visibility and getting people to recognize you enough so that they will want to sponsor your events or something like that. That's hard in the beginning because it's like, you know, you're trying to do something good, but then people aren't that quick to open up their checkbooks or support you if they've never heard of you before. Like, okay, that sounds good, but what types of things have you guys done yet? We're like, then you got to go through the thing of, well, we're just starting, and, you know, with your help, we can do boom, blah, blah, blah. And so that's a challenge right out of the gates. So I would say to people, like, one of the things I think I did that was pretty, I guess, smart was to be involved with the San Diego Veterans Coalition, because that's a hub where anybody who's anybody to do with serving veterans plays in that sandbox. Because it's the one place where you can go and collaborate, and it's mostly nonprofit organizations that are a part of the San Diego Veterans Coalition. Mm-hmm. So there's over 160 different member organizations now. So it's pretty big.
Yeah.
And so going there and sharing about All-Star Vets and the mission and presenting to the coalition there, it got people to say, oh, I like what you're doing. How do we support? How can I get involved? Oh, hey, you should talk to this person. And so that really helped to springboard us right out of the gates and give us instant credibility. Yeah. Because when you talk about being something part of that's larger than just your own organization, people tend to listen more. And especially if you mention a place like San Diego Vet Coalition and some of the leadership members there, I've gotten a lot of support that way. So yeah. I would say for people that are brand new, don't feel like you got to go at it completely alone in terms of, I know it's going to be your own pathway in terms of how you set it up and the funders that you're got to seek out and everything, but attach yourself to a group, join a group of like-minded organizations or individuals that do something in the arena that you're doing your thing in, and network.
Yeah.
You know, it still rings true, right? For jobs or for business or whatever, if you're not out there showing your face to the right people, you're not doing your full due diligence to move your entity forward, right? Yeah. So that's I'm big on that. I'm big on networking as well. And
so you're a natural extrovert.
I don't know about natural, but I know when it has to do. I guess so. Yeah, when I know that that's what's needed.
Yeah.
Then I don't have any problem doing that. So I've represented veterans on a national level as well. So it doesn't come terribly difficult for me to do that, to be honest. I don't know, it's difficult for some people. But if you are like the founder or something like that, it's one of the necessities.
Bring someone on that's an extrovert that you could help out and push you, I guess.
But even that, it's like, you want to hear it from the people who started it. I do anyway.
The actual dream.
I want to know, what is your passion? Like, why did you start this? And what are your thoughts and vision for this thing? You know,
if you could, and I know you've already given a lot of great advice for people looking to start a nonprofit. If you could look at maybe your younger self, that was maybe starting the nonprofit, or in the original nonprofit, the social services, or someone else looking to get in the nonprofit, what kind of advice would you give? I know you get a lot about networking and so on and so forth. Anything else that you could kind of think about?
So those are kind of two different things in terms of starting with the nonprofit that I did the social work and starting the All Star Vets as a founder.
Yeah.
Two different things. But advice I would give is, study up, do your homework. Nothing's easy. You know, as much as we want it to be, and as much as technology's made things easier, I would say totally integrate technology to make things easier as possible for you. But you're still going to have to do the homework to figure out how that technology is going to fit into your program.
So, I mean, I heard today, I'm a butcher. If people listen to this, they know I butcher quotes all the time. But there's one I was listening to, and he's like, in our information age that we're currently in, you have to be blind to be ignorant. Something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's so much information out there. And like you're saying, like study, research, so on and so forth. There's so much information at your fingertips. Of course, there's bad information. Yet there's a lot of good information that can be had out there.
Yeah, and that's hard because I'm one of those types where I try to like just take in information and be overload sometimes. But I'm so interested in all different types of things that I want to try to take certain things and apply them to what I do and enhance it, but that sometimes can take you down all kinds of different rabbit holes, right? So one thing I would say is focus. Stay focused. That's I have a problem with that, man, because I'm very, like I said, I just have such broad interests in all kinds of different things.
Yeah,
I'll go down the rabbit hole, and then I'll look at the clock. It's like, damn, 4 hours? 4 hours I've been looking down this thing and only to find out that, that's something that's, it's a little interesting, but it's not going to help me.
Yeah.
Like, so really kind of, if you want to...
set a time and stay focused.
Yeah, stay focused on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And, obviously goal setting and things, those are crucial, man. You want to have this set up by this date, boom, and have it visible.
Yeah.
So that when you sit down to log in on Facebook every morning to see what everybody else is doing, it's right in your face. And he's like, oh shit, I've got to file that.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to talk to this guy to get that. I got to get this insurance for this event. Boom. Put it visible because it's out of sight, out of mind for me, at least. I know we're mostly visual people and learners, right?
Yeah.
So you got to have it somewhere you can see it. Otherwise, if it's tucked away, out of sight, out of mind, that's what's hard for me about like even stuff on my laptop.
Yeah.
When I go into my files and everything, if it's tucked away in there, and I don't click on it to dig it up, it's out of sight, out of mind. So I'm that type that when I when I have certain things that are really important, they have to be in my face.
Well, I like one thing that I picked up where it was maybe a year or so ago, but it's if it's on your calendar, it doesn't exist. So I'd make a list of what I'm gonna do that day, but then I wouldn't get the list, and so now I have to put it on my calendar just so okay, I need to take care of this big rock right here.
It's so crucial. I got in like arguments with my wife now so much because of that. It's like we're just busy. We're just busy, hectic life, because outside of All Star Vets, I also have another company. Mm. And I also do, you know, I wear several hats, actually. Yeah. All under the veteran space.
Yeah.
It's all good stuff. But they each have their own demands and everything. Mm. So I had to, like, I have to plug every little thing into the calendar.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were like, what was the event? There was some event that's coming up. And she looked really surprised. I'm like, no, honey, remember? look in the calendar. Yeah, it's in the calendar. Look in the calendar. It's in there. And I'm really not... you wouldn't have seen me as that type of person, the calendar type of person. But I know just for myself that I can't. I mean, I have a pretty good, pretty sharp, you know, memory and stuff like that. But I can't bank on it to the point where, you know, I just know what every day what I have scheduled and where and whatnot. That's what I love about the calendar, because, you know, you put in there, also put some notes in there of the location, the link to the map. Couple bullet point notes of what I gotta know, the key points are when I go. That's critical for me nowadays. It just is.
So what's next for All Star Vets and yourself?
Well, next for All Star Vets, yeah, we're like I said, after this 3-year mark, really getting there is to me a big, big deal, because a lot of nonprofits, a lot of businesses start and fail within that time frame, right?
Yeah.
We're still standing, you know, and we're in good standing with the community, which is to me a mission accomplished up to this date, where I really saw us, like I said, teasing out this concept. Let's see if the community wants it. Let's see if they're asking for more from All Star Vets, and we're getting that. We're valued in the veteran community, and you know the San Diego Veterans Coalition. Values us so much that I'm a co-chair now of their physical and emotional health committee. So we're taking the step up to get even more involved in our coalition groups and things like that, so that we can really be leading from the front, right? And so with All Star Vets, I see growth, you know, and after this 3 years of really slow growth process, I see us growing and picking up some other grant funding and things like that, and just building our capabilities up so that we can continue to do the things that we're doing that we do well, and also expand out into other avenues. One example would be adaptive sports. So my co-founder, his name is Marcus Chischilly. He's a international adaptive sports athlete. I call him the Jim Thorpe of adaptive sports, because he does a little bit of everything. He's done surfing, and he's an amputee above the knee.
Oh, wow.
He stepped on a 25-pound pressure-plated IED in Afghanistan, I want to say in 2010. And he found sports through his recovery.
Wow.
So most veterans, I go off on a tangent real quick.
Yeah.
Most veterans, they played some sport through high school. I'd say probably pretty high percentage, 90%, I would say, played something in sport, cross country or basketball, whatever. He was one of the exceptions. He's an athletic guy, but he didn't do any sports in high school. So getting hurt had these really unintended consequences. But the key thing was Marcus's mindset about how he wanted to live his life after that, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people that go through that, they go to self-medicating. They go deep and dark. Suicide, alcohol and drug addiction, all kinds of stuff, right? Well, he was introduced to a sport like wheelchair basketball.
Okay.
So that was an opportunity for him to do something positive with his energy, because he's frustrated. You know, you're kind of pissed off at the world a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you get to go out there and wheel it out. And I'm telling you, man, if you've never seen that live, your mind will be blown. You never think it's like wheelchair basketball. Okay,
yeah.
I see it. It's cool, but when you see him in action,
I think I've seen like some of the videos of it where I think because we have an Olympic team or something like that, right? Or something. It was some. Like,
we have leagues here in San Diego, yeah. And there's one team called the Wolfpack. That's okay. Who we played for.
Okay.
And they're all veterans.
Yeah.
And so I went to. They have tournaments every year at Balboa Park.
Yeah.
And I went last year to volunteer just to be there and help out and everything, support it.
Yeah.
And the ball went up, and I was like, it was mayhem. These guys are just like boom, crashing into it's full. It was full contact.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they're just smashing into each other, just hustling and getting after it. So that kind of energy, like that's a kind of a sport that suits our vets well because they're high intensity guys, you know, and they love that action. And so for Marcus to kind of take to that. Kind of changed his life for the positive because then he started to say yes to other things.
Yeah.
People wanted him to do golfing events and he got into the surfing. He did Invictus Games.
Oh wow.
Where he did track and field events. He's done swimming events and things like that. So he does a little bit of everything and he hand cycles marathons now. He just did a Boston Marathon a couple months ago now. Where he's, you know, incumbent bikes, his hand cycle. The dude's a beast, man. He doesn't train as much as he probably could for them, but he just jumps on there and 26.2. I'm just going to knock this out real quick. Yeah, so guys like him and that adaptive side of the house of adapting mainstream sports so that our veterans can participate in them. Mm. Is something that I'm also passionate about. And there are some groups doing some really good work on that front now, like Challenge Athletes Foundation is very well known, and they have a veteran-specific component to their programs there. And but we want to have one of our own as well as All-Star Vets. You know, we're not trying to be at Challenge Athletes Foundation or really compete with them or anything. We're just trying to offer in our own ways that those types of adapt certain things so that our vets can participate in them as well. So those are some of the areas that I see us evolving into as we, you know, going back to your question of what do you see for us in the future, build our capacities, hopefully get some, you know, some key sponsorships would be clutch and some grant funding. And then ideally we'd bring on somebody like a program coordinator who could then take a lot of the stuff that off my plate that I end up doing, because I'm everything, right? I'm the coordinator, I'm the CEO, I'm the, you know, I'm the secretary, all of that stuff. So ideally I would love to bring on a coordinator who could then at least just plan the events, coordinate, do all the social media posts, let people raise awareness about it. Then I can kind of do the seeking out funding and things like that at a higher level. And then continue to just kind of build it and grow it out till we are fully functioning nonprofit with, you know, armed with paid, you know, staff people that can run a full fledged nonprofit organization.
What, for people listening that maybe got want to be part of this or get involved or come to the events or donate, what would be the best way of them getting in contact?
Well, you can find us at allstarvets.org is our website. So you can get in touch with us that way. We also have Facebook page that's just All Star Vets as well. We're also on Instagram, All Star Vets. And then for my, you know, reach out directly to me. And, you know, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and all of that stuff as well. Reach out to me at dean@allstarvets.org. Call or text me at 760-889-9481. Very easy to get a hold of and very open to, you know, anybody who wants to help in all of those ways you just talked about, you know, time, talent, treasure. We need it all. If I get a, you know, a core group of people that are motivated, even, you know, half of what I am, you know, we can do a lot. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some supporters in those ways that really would want to just kind of, you know, pull up a chair to the table and say, we're down for this cause. How do we get it done? What do we need done?
That's great. I mean, hopefully everyone listening got some really great information. Thank you, Dean, for all your time. And please subscribe, please share, and hopefully you can help out the veterans, especially if you live in San Diego or if you live somewhere else. We have a lot of veterans here that need your help.
Absolutely, and thank you for what you do for giving us a voice in this medium as well. Appreciate
it. Perfect. All right, guys. Have a great one. We'll
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.